This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We'll be back after news. We got our GPS 61 spotlight coming up. Don't go anywhere.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Communism in America. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Former President Trump just posted that. After another early morning rant on Truth Social, angry about a looming deadline to post a nearly $500 million bond so he can appeal what he calls a crazy award by a Trump-hating judge that the former president claims is trying to take away 2024 campaign funding and what's election interference. If he doesn't come up with that bond by Monday, New York Attorney General Letitia James may take Trump property.
The AG's office is making sure everything is in place so it can start taking possession of Trump's assets. Now, the former president owns several properties across the state of New York, including in Westchester County, where the attorney general filed those judgments and would allow her to seize a golf course and a private estate.
That's Fox's Chandler Painter. Congress has a midnight deadline to prevent a partial government shutdown.
It will take a sprint in the House and Senate to send a $1.2 trillion spending bill to the president's desk before a Saturday shutdown.
When passed, it will extinguish any more shutdown threats for the rest of the fiscal year.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, House Speaker Mike Johnson says there are wins for Republicans, including increased border funding.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. The new military aid for Ukraine stalled and Congress is not in that bill. And Russia has launched new attacks targeting electrical facilities, causing widespread power outages in Ukraine, killing at least three people. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel for talks with the prime minister and war cabinet, pushing a ceasefire. Before arriving, Blinken said in Egypt,
100% of the population of Gaza is experiencing severe levels of acute food insecurity. We must not allow that to continue.
In Mississippi, the final two of six white ex-law enforcement officers were sent to prison for torturing two black men last year, responding to a complaint they were in a white woman's home. The federal judge gave the six sentences ranging from 10 to 40 years behind bars. America's listening to Fox News.
After 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation promised to make sure that we never forget. And since then, they have been supporting American heroes and their families, heroes like U.S. Army Specialist Michael Hook. He was killed in Iraq, and Hook left behind a pregnant fiance who gave birth to a son that he would never meet. Tunnel to Towers stepped up. They paid off the mortgage on their home. Donate $11 a month. Go to their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org. The letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Progressive presents 10 things on a contractor's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Bidding a new client, giving an accurate estimate, finding affordable materials, getting a client to pay you for work you already did, getting a client to pay you, period, securing permits and workers and tools, getting those workers and tools to work together, and finding the perfect pair of overalls. Pockets, baby. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
There is a manhunt in Pennsylvania and a case of squatting turned deadly. Police in New York City say they believe a couple living in an apartment left vacant after a tenant's death killed the daughter of the woman who used to live there when she went back to check on her mother's place. The two then fled to Pennsylvania. A manhunt for an escaped prisoner is over in Idaho, ending the day after it began.
Boise police say inmate Skylar Mead and shooting suspect Nicholas Umpfenhauer were located in the Twin Falls area and taken into custody. Lieutenant Colonel Sheldon Kelly of the Idaho State Police revealing two homicides involving adult males in two separate counties may be connected.
No further information on the homicides is available at this time, and the county coroner will provide identity as well as the official cause of death.
Officials say Umpfenhauer is an associate of Meade's and that the two planned an ambush at a hospital where Meade was being treated, with Umpfenhauer attacking and firing at Idaho Department of Correction officers. One officer released from the hospital, two remain in stable condition. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Stocks could drop on Wall Street. Futures are down the day after the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500 closed at record highs. There's already a potential Cinderella team in the men's college basketball tournament.
The first big upset in the NCAA brackets.
We're better than we played, but you got to give Oakland credit.
University of Kentucky men's head basketball coach John Calipari, after his third-seeded Wildcats, who were 13.5-point favorites in their first-round matchup versus 14-seed Oakland, lost 80-76. Three teams team seeded 11th scored wins over six seeds. NC State beat Texas Tech 80-67. Duquesne topped BYU 71-67. Oregon over South Carolina 87-73. 16 more games close out the first round today.
Fox's Jared Max. For Duquesne, it was their first NCAA tourney win in 55 years. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Coach House Garages, designed to fit your life, budget, and dreams. Built on generations of Amish craftsmanship with the best warranty in the industry, where service is more than a promise, it's a guarantee. Their custom-built buildings have been turned into all kinds of spaces, from garden sheds and pool houses to workshops and guest houses. The possibilities are endless. You can count on Coach House to listen to your needs and create the perfect building to fit your vision. For more information, visit CoachHouseGarages.com.
Spring into fashion at the Shop on Main. Stop in today to see the beautiful selection of vibrant colors and apparel. Fun and beautiful accessories, including the new Chala handbags and soft fuzzy bunnies for your Easter celebrations. Remember, Easter is early this year, so don't delay. And if you're looking for a fun girls' lunch, join us at the Decatur Club for informal modeling on March 27th. You don't have to be a member for this open dining experience. Call Jeff for reservations. Shop on Main, 407 North Main, downtown Decatur.
Here's a look at your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast today. Sunny with a high near 66. Tonight, chance of rain, possibly mixing with snow after midnight. Mostly cloudy and a low of 31. For Saturday, partly sunny, high near 46. For Sunday, mostly cloudy and windy, high near 54. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 32 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:06. This look at your weather brought to you by Shop on Main, downtown Decatur. Modern looks, old-fashioned pampering.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Friday. This hour, we've got a Brinkhouser Home Highlight coming up, but we're going to take a little trip to Montessori Academy for Peace. The principal is in studios. You'd be surprised to find out what happens in District 61. That's why we do this every Friday. Next.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Just like in politics, right? Life is always divided, all one way, all the other. You wouldn't believe how many people I hear from on a weekly, monthly basis. Like, oh, why are you trying to make District 61 sound like these good things are happening? Because I know it's all bad, right? And then on the other side of that, you got, why is the media always just focus on the bad when there's so much good? And as in most of life, it's somewhere in the middle, right? Yes. You put 7,000 plus kids into a school district, you're going to have issues that arise, right? Every single kid's walking around with a camera. Everything gets recorded. Everything shows up on social media. There are many people in the media that love that clickbait stuff, and they go on and on and on. So years ago, I'm having this conversation before Facebook, before anything, with Dan Winter, who was on a school board, and he's giving me the riot act. Why do you not tell the stories about the good things that happen? And I think he was collectively speaking about the media in general, but he was in front of me, and so I'm having this conversation. I said, Dan Oaks, not Dan Winter.
I had Mr. Winter for a teacher.
I was going to say, but he was also on the school board. But we don't have we can't read your minds. You know, so much of the stuff that happens in a vacuum within a building, and outside of that building, people don't know, you know. We can try to cover stuff after the fact, or you guys can be more proactive in telling your story. And that's what started all those years ago through several superintendents, us spending Friday mornings talking about the things going on in District 61. And not for 90 seconds, but take a good 20 minutes to really take a deep dive into what's going on. And it is always surprising to me how much more I have to learn, even though I feel like I'm fairly informed. But one of the great things that we do here on Fridays from time to time is introduce you to a principal and describe an experience going on inside a building. We were fortunate enough to take part in the Principal for a Day program a few weeks back, and we're out at Stephen Decatur because that's been the talk of a lot of stuff, you know, about perception versus reality. And it's our great pleasure to do this. And I want to welcome into the program Nate Talent, who grew up here, right? You're a Decatur guy.
That's correct.
What made you get into education?
Well, actually, I got an education really early. I actually attended Decatur Public Schools, and while I was at Eisenhower High School, I went to the Tech Academy when it was downtown and attended the early childhood program there, and the goal was to just become a teacher actually at the early childhood level, and then as I finished college, I came back and found a job at the Montessori program and actually came back to the school that I actually went to.
So full circle then, what was that like? The first day you walked in,
it was kind of a surreal experience. Now, it was a different building. When I went to, it was Garfield Montessori originally on Grand, and
right.
Then moved to the location in South Shores. But it was a little surreal. But at the same time, I'm walking into a building and working with a couple colleagues who were actually teachers in the building when I was there.
Really? That's like when Tom Brady was playing, right? And then he had like a teammate's kid get drafted or whatever.
I had that happen in MacArthur. I subbed there and the old teachers came and said, hey, then crashed my class. It felt super weird. I can only imagine.
So how long have you then now been with Montessori?
I've been with Montessori, let's see, this is my 13th year if you include teaching and right. administration, but I did take 2 years off. I was 2 years an assistant principal over at Stephen Decatur.
Oh, at Stephen Decatur. But you go back to your first love.
That's correct.
All right. What's the state of the Montessori Academy for Peace? How many kids? You're K-8, right?
Yep, we are K-8. We have, I believe I just looked at it, we have 634 students, I believe.
All right. That's big for a Montessori school.
That is very big for Montessori. We're actually the third largest school in the district.
All right. And where does that – do you have other districts or other Montessori schools that you know that are that large?
There are a few that are similar in size around the United States. We're actually one of the largest from my just off-the-cuff kind of research as we've done around. And we're trying to reach out and make sure we make some connections with some of those schools as well.
All right. So what does that give you – are there benefits? Are there downsides? You know, what does that size mean? And like if you're trying to explain to sort of a business person, that's a lot of kids. But I'm glad they're all getting that chance. I often wondered about these schools that give you something special. Like, why do we have waiting lists? You know, why aren't we duplicating this stuff?
Absolutely. Well, you kind of mentioned it there at the beginning, right? When you have a lot of kids, you have a little bit of the good, a little bit of the bad. So there are some pluses and minuses to it. But at the end of the day, we're able to offer a specialized Montessori curriculum to a large number of students in a public setting that otherwise probably wouldn't have that opportunity because Montessori predominantly dominates the private sector here in the Western world.
Okay, so go back and give me the Montessori. Particularly in education and some other fields, you know, you guys love acronyms and you have your own internal speak. But what is the Montessori method? I mean, what is it?
So the Montessori method is a lot of individualized work and following the child, right? It's recognizing that every human being is different and all children learn differently. And so therefore we shouldn't teach them all the same at the same time. We need to follow their interests as adults. When we're interested in something, we absorb the information more. When we're just thrown information that we're not really into, we often have to hear it several times. And in school, traditionally, we often offer kids information at a particular time in
right.
a particular setting and expect them all to learn the
exact same time. Yeah.
And Montessori doesn't follow that.
Now, this was an Italian physician, am I correct?
That's correct.
Started this through studies with children and how they respond, and it goes back to the early 20th century, if memory serves me. I mean, it's been around a while.
That's correct.
But mainly for most of that time in very expensive private schools.
That's correct. Once it moved over to the Western world, it was a very kind of exclusive way of learning, and so a lot of private institutions capitalized on that, and they were able to make money off of that. But when she started the program or her curriculum, it was based for low-income students who just were not fortunate enough to have the regular benefits of education.
Okay. And by the way, I think she was the first Italian female physician as well, so cutting edge all the way around.
Very much so.
All right. So what's a day in your life look like? You know, what time's the bell ring today? What time are you, you know, what time did everything get started? What do the hallways look like? What does it sound like? Just give us a glimpse inside.
Well, the day starts at about 9:10. Kids start rolling in. And about 5 minutes later, we start our day at 9:15. And at about that time, almost every student is in class and teachers have begun their day. And every classroom, I would say is similar, but also unique in its own aspect. They're all running Montessori, but they're also running Montessori in their own unique way based on their individual environments and communities within the classroom. So it's actually a pretty quiet environment to start out with because everybody, I mean, our goal is to get to work right away. In an ideal Montessori environment, we have a 3-hour work cycle block where students are sitting and working independently on their own work plans and their own basically individually structured work basically plan.
All right. Is there a certain kind of teacher that's attracted to this? You know, a certain kind of personality? You know, I've known some teachers in my life, you know, they're very structured. You know, they don't want this individualism stuff. You know, this is everybody's going to get treated the same way.
Well, actually, ironically with that, it takes a very structured teacher to work in Montessori. And at the end of the day, I would like to think that a lot of education moves towards that. I mean, you know, most educators that I run into recognize that every child needs to learn individually. Montessori just provides the environment for that. Now, in order to be a Montessori teacher, we do require at Montessori Academy Peace that the teachers all become certified. So they go through a 2-year training program. So it does take a little extra.
And what does that look like? I mean, do they go somewhere? Do they do the training here? I mean, how does that take place?
Oh no, that's an intensive program. For instance, when I got my teaching license, got my first job in Decatur, I showed up, I got my, interview. That night they actually called me and said, hey, we'd like to offer you the job. By the way, in 2 days you're leaving for training. You'll be in Chicago for 7 weeks.
Okay.
And I was up there for 7 weeks and it's about 8 hours every day sitting there listening to every presentation that you will be giving to each child. So you actually go through the experience of exactly what a child would go through. Instead of 3 years, it's condensed down into basically a summer. And then you go back and go through philosophy pieces, throughout the year. There's a couple weekends, then another 2 weeks the following year. And then, lots of papers and several tests. It's almost the equivalent to, I got my master's. I would say it's almost more work than I spent on my master's.
Really?
Yeah.
And then is there a bonus for teachers? I mean, do they get compensated for that extra training? Meaning, does District 61 pay for it? Do they pay for it out of their own pocket? Do they make more? I mean, it seems like that's an extra requirement.
It does. Actually, District 61 covers the entire cost of that training. We are very fortunate to have this program, and District 61 has put forth the effort to make sure that we are able to do it with fidelity. So they fully supply our classrooms and make sure our teachers are fully trained. There's talk to actually work to try to get some sort of change within the state to get it recognized on the license. But as of right now, Montessori training is a still a little bit smaller sector. And so there's still some work to be done in terms of making sure that recognition and compensation is there.
Yeah. But is there value to them? I'm asking maybe, you know, if a teacher's not sure about whether to go through this extra training, but does that translate into other job opportunities? I mean, are there fewer of them? I mean, that specific training in demand?
I like to think so, just because as Montessori becomes more popular, as more people become aware of it, there's a lot of schools that, whether they offer a Montessori program or not, that looks really good to have that because they know that you put in the effort, they know that you put in the work to get that training, and that you've already have the experience of creating an environment that individualized towards students, which at the end of the day, in an education setting, whether it's traditional or Montessori or not, every parent wants their child to have that individualized experience, to know that attention is there. And Montessori teachers are specially trained in that aspect.
Okay. When I was a kid, I don't know if there were any K-8. There might have been one. You know, it was all K-6. What does that mean over the years? Why has this sort of become the thing rather than the exception?
Well, I like to think that, Montessori is a specialized program. I mean, I can only speak to our program specifically with that. But it allows us to really create a bond with families and whatnot and create a bond with the students. I mean, a lot of times students come in at age 3 at our building and they leave at 8th grade and we have their siblings. We'll get to know families for 20 plus years, which makes that communication piece, that makes that relationship piece with families much more solid. And when families and schools work together, that benefits the child 100% more than when those two entities are more separate.
But then how do you get those 7th and 8th graders ready for the next level? I know this is one of the things we've struggled with, not just here everywhere because of COVID, where those key year or two socialization pieces, people were at home, not able to go to school, and that really caused a lot of problems on the freshman inside of things in high school, right? Because the entire country, the entire world was impacted by this once in 100 year thing. Are we getting past that? Or are we getting back caught up in some of those areas?
I think we're getting past it, but I also think we're growing into a new age of education. Like, part of this is also, just like I was saying with following the child, education has to realize that students and families and communities are changing. The way we look at the world, the way we learn is different altogether. And so I think it's a growing process altogether. But we're working on that process of adapting students on how they transition to high school. At the end of the day, I mean, I was a Montessori kid myself. Now, granted, I only went to sixth grade and then went to TJ, but my transition was just fine. So to both my sisters, most of the people that I know who transition in, I mean, there are always some struggles. Sometimes we don't have lockers at Montessori, so maybe the struggle might be learning how to use a lock and making sure you transition those pieces. But those are the small pieces. The educational pieces, though, our students often thrive.
What about, you're described as a magnet school, and the district has several magnet schools.
I'm sorry.
I was like, man, that's a loud dump truck. And then I thought maybe Nick was going to Fox News or an alarm going off. Good morning and welcome. We're back here with the principal of the Montessori Academy for Peace, Mr. Nate Talent. The whole concept behind magnet schools, and I've asked this of many superintendents and guests over the years, you know, if this is a special kind of way to really get a kid a quality education, why is it the exception and not the rule? Why wouldn't all schools be magnet schools?
Well, because so right now, like it's a majority versus minority, right? So we're one of many. So we are a Montessori school. Most of the schools in Decatur Public Schools are traditional classrooms. And part of that is because of the training aspect, because of the specialized program we offer. And the one thing we want to do is make sure that program is equally offered to everybody within Decatur Public Schools.
So how do people end up in your school? There's a lottery?
There is a lottery, yep. Okay. Yep. They apply for the lottery, and then we run through that lottery, and hopefully, you know, everyone who applies, we'd like to get everybody in, and I'd like to expand the program if we can at some point in time, but, part of that requires space, part of that requires teacher and training, and, so it takes a little work to grow those things.
All right. So your kids come from all over the community.
That's correct.
How did we get past busing laws and all of that? I mean, you know, growing up, it was always a contentious thing about, you know, kids kind of being stuck wherever, you know, the closest school they lived to, whether that school was any good or not, or the leadership was any good or not. How does that work today?
Well, it's a complicated process. Busing is one of those things that I think a lot of school districts struggle with, partly because, you know, they're trying to get bus drivers. But, you know, part of what we try to do in Decatur Public Schools, we have a tiered system. So we run our schools, on tiered on how they start and how they end. And so Montessori is a tier three school. So actually, once the other schools have finished, there's a few of us left in tier three, and all of the buses then head out to the rest of the district all over the city and bring them in. You know, there's always difficulties when it comes to transporting that many students from that many locations. But at the end of the day, for the most part, we get everybody in and ready to go.
Yeah. Is it tough? I know we found out at Stephen Decatur, you know, because of driver shortage, like just even getting your day started on time can sometimes be a struggle that you have no control over. It's whether kids get there in time or not.
That's true. That is a little bit of a struggle. But there's a nice thing about Montessori as well, right? So in a traditional classroom where you might have certain things that happen at certain times of the day, in a Montessori classroom, ideally, they come in and they're working in individually. So if you come in late, you know, you get out your work rug, you get your work plan out, and you get started on what you left off on the day before, regardless of what everybody else is working on. So in those settings where we were able to get that work block in, they come in and there's really no difference to their day except they got started a little bit later and the student works to manage that time on their own.
How do multi-age classrooms work? What's the concept behind that? What's the benefit of that?
So the benefit of that is, you know, you're trying to get a student from point A to point B in terms of their learning. In a traditional classroom, you're working on 9 months. In a Montessori classroom, when I taught, I had 3 years to get your child from point A to point B, which means if we're struggling on a concept, we can spend a little bit more time on it. And when we reach that point where all of a sudden, you know, we're excelling a lot more, I can move you a lot quicker. It also helps with getting to know families. When I'm talking to a family and getting to know them, that's a nervous thing, right? You're a teacher, you're working with a parent's child, and trying to have that nicety to understand, you know, the nuances with those things. That can be a difficult conversation sometimes. After 3 years, you get to know them really well. There is no longer that nervousness there. You can get right to the point and work with those families to really benefit the child.
All right. What kind of staff do you have? How many teachers?
I have an incredible staff. I believe right around 45 teachers, 43 teachers right around there, and 103 staff total if you include security, office, and custodians. And I include all of them because everyone contributes to what we do at Montessori.
What would be the most surprising thing to somebody walking in your doors for the first time? I mean, what would people immediately notice? I mean, you probably just, you know, blends into the woodwork for you because you're there every day. But what would be the most surprising thing to people?
Well, actually, we just had a contingent of high school students yesterday actually come over from Clinton just to kind of walk through there. They're looking to do their child development stuff. And they just wanted to see a different way of learning. And those students walk through and they just had never experienced that type of learning. I had many of them looking around and just, you know, kind of wondering why, just like you were asking, why isn't this everywhere? Why didn't I have this experience? They mentioned how quiet it was, how individualized it was, and how focused students were. Now, just like every school, we do have our issues. I did explain that to them. This was the day before break. But at the end of the day, that's one of the big things. You know, we have a lot of value in kids and their individuality.
All right. You know, one of the things that I had to learn how to do, you know, our guy was at Johns Hill K through 8 and then 4 years at Eisenhower. Well, 4 years in COVID, it was a little different time thing. But to realize that even though we had a fantastic experience and no complaints and everything was great, that doesn't mean that was everyone's experience.
That's correct.
And it's nuanced when we think about public education that way. You know, yesterday, and Nick and I will get into this a little bit, you know, the ISBE, the Illinois State Board of Education, you know, finally came out and said, look, if your kid is running a race and literally you're in a hurdles race, right? And you get out of the gates and you're just as fast as the other four people running this race. And then you end up in last place, but then you look over and your hurdle is 6 inches higher than everybody else's hurdle. We wouldn't do sports that way, but we do education this way. And Illinois has some of the highest standards. I mean, our scores are not even with Florida's scores because Florida keeps score a different way. The politics of that, right? I mean, I know that probably doesn't filter down every day into your classroom, but do you feel the pressure about how we keep score and how we, you know, or as a Montessori school, are you able to escape some of that?
Unfortunately, in a lot of those aspects, we're not able to escape a lot of those aspects because we are still a public Montessori. We're still held to the same standards as everyone else. We escape it a little bit because of how we do things on a general basis. Like we teach children a little bit differently in those aspects, and Montessori provided a curriculum that fulfills a lot of those aspects. Now, again, adapting those Montessori practices that were created 100 years ago to the modern age and the modern student, that's sometimes a tackle and something that we have to adapt as we go along.
But there's the politics in this, and I'm not asking you a political question. I'm just saying is, you know, if you adapt a way of testing that is even with what most of the United States does, the politicians here will go, you're lowering standards.
Yep, that's true.
Right? And so it's a hard thing to sort of get past sort of the objections. But I just want to know day in and day out, are you able to do your job, or does a lot of your job have to be focused on however it is they keep score wherever it is they decide that?
I would say I'm able to do my job. We're able to teach kids and again, our goal is to make sure that they're successful in every aspect. You know, we do recognize that the tests are important, but at the end of the day, Montessori also looks at the whole child, right? Understanding that we're creating independent human beings who aren't just going to perform well on a test. Now, that is important. We want to make sure.
Yeah, but that's the easy trap, right? Yep. Is teach to the test rather than making sure a kid's prepared for life.
100%. And our goal is make sure that they're successful when they leave Decatur Public Schools and they can show off what they've learned here.
What a great, thank you for being here. What a great time. Born and bred, go through District 61, come back here and make a difference. It's got to give you a great deal of pleasure every day.
I do enjoy it, yep.
All right. Well, thank you, and please pass along our thanks to all your staff, all of them, make that experience so cool. Nick, we should sign up for Montessori next year, for principal for the day. I had Eisenhower last year, and Stephen Decatur this year, so we'll put you on the list.
Come on over.
All right. If folks want to see your school, see what's going on, get involved, volunteer, sponsor, whatever it might be. Are you guys open to that?
Absolutely. Give us a call. Let me know. This summer, actually, I'm looking for community partners. Reach out to me. I'll come out to you.
What are you looking for this summer?
I'm looking to build processes, right? So we're working on building processes in the building. And one of the things I want to do is grow our community partners and make sure that I'm building some lasting relationships with that. Sometimes it's a little difficult to do during the school year, but in the summer, I got some time. I'll come to you.
That's smart. You know, getting people inside your building, right? And I know, it's easy to go, well, we're doing everything, but if people aren't seeing it and they don't have a child or a grandkid in their schools and they haven't been in school for a long time, it's a lot easier for them to buy all the negative stuff.
Absolutely.
Nate, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. Nick's got news coming up, and then we'll check in with Mark Tupper. Big Illini win yesterday in the tournament. We'll talk about that. And a pretty impressive day for a young man who finds himself 10th on a list of things that have happened in the NCAA tournament history. That's insane. We'll be back after news. You're listening to the Friday edition of Byers & Company. Don't go anywhere. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports coming up straight after news. Stay tuned.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. The Illinois Lottery has announced results for the first 6 months of the current fiscal year. The lottery has generated $1.9 billion in sales, leading to estimated returns to the state of $456 million. The largest prize won in Illinois during the reported period was a $23 million lotto jackpot won on a single ticket bought from the family-owned BP gas station in Chicago last September. Two bills that would limit the marketing and sale of e-cigarettes and other vaping devices are awaiting action in the state Senate. One bill would prohibit the advertising, marketing, and promoting of vaping devices that could be mistaken as innocuous objects like school supplies. Another bill would ban the sale of e-cigarettes through the Internet to individuals under 21. In other news, it's Friday. For more stories, podcasts, and videos, visit our website anytime. We're located at nowdecatur.com.
News. I'm Gianna DeLosi. Former President Trump now has only 3 days to secure a more than $450 million bond, and New York Attorney General Letitia James already laying the groundwork to seize his assets if he doesn't.
The Attorney General's office has filed judgments in Westchester County, where Trump's National Golf Club and the Seven Springs Estate are located. Legal experts say, though, it is premature to assume the properties in Westchester will be the first the AG goes after.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Trump took to Truth Social to say, quote, "This is communism in America." Secretary of State Antony Blinken touching down in Tel Aviv to share alternatives to Israel's planned assault on Rafah.
There are more than a million people in Rafah, many of whom were displaced from other parts of Gaza. A major ground operation there would mean more civilian deaths. It would worsen the humanitarian crisis.
Blinken speaking from Egypt. America's listening to Fox News.
Finally, a place in Decatur to catch every big game and root on all your favorite teams in a welcoming family atmosphere. Hotshots in downtown Decatur is the place to be. Enjoy happy hour every day, Monday through Friday from 3 until 6, and get the Big 3, the MVP burger, a 9-inch pizza, or 6 boneless wings for only $4 each. Also, ask about their Beer of the Month specials. Located downtown at 237 North Main, open daily for lunch at 11 a.m. and staying open to be your late night spot until 2 a.m. Hot Shots, the place for sports.
Huff Lumber and Home Specialties. Who says you can't have it all?
Update your home with beautiful cabinets from Dura Supreme. Our complimentary custom design includes pricing and renderings to keep you in budget. And with a broad selection of woods and colors to choose from, you can have it all.
Huff Lumber and Home Specialties. Who says you can't have it all?
A primary care physician from Memorial Care can help you better manage your medications. Having one provider who knows your health can help ensure your meds are working together. Physicians in Decatur are accepting new patients. Visit memorial.health today.
Does it hurt to twist? Does the pain persist? Maybe it's time you see a specialist. Memorial Specialty Care is your source for specialists, providing the expertise you need to patients at VMH. To learn more, visit memorial.health today.
It looks beautiful, and it's going to be 60. Can we just stop there?
Yeah, today it will be 60. It'll be 66, even sunny with a high of 66. Tonight, a chance of rain, possibly mixing with snow after midnight, mostly cloudy and a low below freezing at 31. For Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 46. And then Sunday, a little warmer, mostly cloudy and windy, a high of 54. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 32 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:33.
Thank you.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Each and every weekday morning, we check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's talk about the tournament in whole.
Well, you know, you're reminded of a lot of things when you watch a day like yesterday. And there's a lot of sports watchers who will tell you that day one and day two, which is today, of the NCAA men's tournament are two of the greatest TV watching days of the year, because inevitably you'll discover or rediscover why it's called March Madness. And that was the case yesterday with Oakland delivering such a classic moment with its victory over Kentucky, that even if you had no idea that Oakland was a small university in Michigan, or that their coach Greg Lampe had been there for 40 years, or that last night's hero Jack Golke, who made 10 threes versus Kentucky last night, that guy has taken 355 shots this season, and 347 of them are threes. And so I got to think, what about those other eight shots? And I think, you know, if you get a steal near the basket, you just lay it in. Otherwise, their coaches told him, no, we don't want you shooting any twos. You shoot threes. And they're a lot of fun. Illinois has played them many times over the years. And I've interviewed Greg Lampe, their coach, and when they slipped the dagger between the ribs of Kentucky last night, that was a one shining moment time for sure. And in fact, the networks recognized it so much that they pulled them aside and filmed a promo that aired within 30 minutes, where Lampe and his three-point shooter were grinning like the Cheshire Cats and saying, "Hi, we're Oakland, and we just wrecked your bracket." I thought, yeah, it's good for you because you did that. That's exactly what they did. And then a while later, Samford, which is another small long-shot school, this one from Alabama, nearly did the same thing to Kansas. Just a terrific close game. And yet Kansas wiggled off the hook and got that one. And so, you know, there's just so many of these great stories. And Illinois, of course, won and beat Morehead State 85-69. But you watch the thing in total, and there's heroes aplenty. And we'll get to the specifics in the second segment on the Illinois game. But Illinois will be playing Duquesne. And that team is an amazing story too. Their coach, Keith Dambrot, he was the high school coach for 2 years for LeBron James at St. Vincent St. Mary in Akron. He is the guy John Gross replaced at Akron. And after before they won actually the Atlantic 10 tournament, he called his team together and said, "I'm going to retire at the end of this season. My wife has breast cancer. I'm going to be with her." And so they've got that as their little rallying cry too. So Illinois will play them at 7:40 on Saturday, a game televised on TNT. You can listen to it here on WSOY. And when we come back after the break, I'll tell you specifically what happened in that Illinois game, because like all their games lately, interesting and different. They win a lot of different ways, and that's a cool thing. They're a hard team to guard and a hard team to figure, and right now they're playing pretty good.
All right, we'll do that on the other side of the break. This look at Tupper on Sports, brought to you by First National Bank. Big bank products, local bank service.
Spring is here, and a perfect time to take advantage of a CD special from First National Bank of Decatur, offering an annual percentage yield as high as 5.28% for 9 months, depending on the product type. For details, visit either Decatur branch at 1688 Baltimore Road or downtown in the Milliken Building. You can also visit one of our other branches in Pena, Assumption, Taylorville, or Blue Mound. First National Bank of Decatur, the quality bank. FNB Quality, member FDIC.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, the Illinois-Morehead State game, tight first half.
Yeah, very tight first half. You know, and as we were reminded yesterday, there's a lot of very talented players in the country, and they're not all five-star recruits playing for Kentucky and Kansas and North Carolina and Duke and you know, and the biggest conferences. Morehead State, who Illinois beat yesterday, has some. Duquesne, who Illinois will play on Saturday has some too. And for a half, Morehead State hung right in there with Illinois until the combination of Terrence Shannon and Dane Danger and Marcus Damask took over. And Shannon had 19 of his 26 in the first half. And it looked like it might be a one-man show. And then Dane Danger got out there and was absolutely fabulous in the second half. He took 9 shots. He made them all, scored 17 of his 21, and went on a one-man tear that really finally gave Illinois some breathing room. He also had 8 rebounds. And then Marcus Damask, who was double-teamed every time he tried to back someone down into the post. He had the 10th triple-double in NCAA tournament history, 12 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. And then Illinois got 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists from Coleman Hawkins, and they got 3 threes from Luke Goody, and they got a pair of threes in the first half from freshman Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn. And after the game, Morehead State players just talked about Illinois is very difficult to play. They're very big at every position. They're strong. And they looked at tape of how they won in the Big Ten tournament, and that's not exactly how they won yesterday. So it's an interesting team to watch. John Calipari, the Kentucky coach, talked about it after his Kentucky team lost to Oakland. He has some incredibly talented players, but a lot of them are freshmen, and he was questioning whether he can still do it that way. Freshmen are going to be great, and the freshmen that Kentucky gets usually stay for 1 year, and then they go to the NBA. And that's why when Brad Underwood put together this Illinois team, he just said, I want to be older. And so he went and found transfers who were 22 and 23 years old, and they play differently than freshmen do. So now Illinois faces down its next opponent and its next step in this quest, which is to win Saturday against Duquesne and advance to the Sweet 16. And that's what we've talked about all along, that that's their goal. That's the thing that they haven't been able to accomplish here lately. And they'll play that game at 7:40 Saturday night. As I said, TNT, WSOY. I think it should be fun. It probably will be scary. And just hang on tight. This is a fun ride.
All right, my friend. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the basketball. We'll check in with you first thing Monday morning. Yeah, a tale of two halves. That first half was like just nerve-wracking.
Yep, and we've seen enough of that this season.
First part of the second half was nerve-wracking, yep. And then it just went to a whole other level where, okay, now we see the difference in the seeding here.
And they can see for themselves during a tournament, we're this good. We can, yeah. We'll take care of our light work.
But, man, it seems like it takes them all the way to the end of a game to do that.
So, yeah, sometimes.
Over and over, well, the Big Ten tournament. Oh, every gosh. Game.
Yeah. I think
where has this team been all day?
I love how it happened. I think it's absolutely everything they needed, a battle and a big win.
Yeah, and a runaway. Yep. I mean, the ability to go, we're much better out
That's
here
right.
than you
That's
are.
That's right. I think that they need to go into the next game expecting to throttle the team. It was cute. You got your nice upset, but we're a 3 seed. You're going to get beat. That's how their mind has got to be.
Didn't the 11 seeds go 3-0 yesterday?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
And Oakland beating Kentucky. I don't know what John Calipari makes. I'm sure it is a lot.
He might be the highest paid person in the state. State funded.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe the highest paid coach in college basketball.
Certainly way up there.
And yet they've built this system. Mark's exactly right. And when I say they, it's the players, it's everybody. It's not just him as a coach. You know, with this one and done stuff, it's hard to build a national championship team.
Yeah. And there's a league in the NBA called the G League Ignite that is for players that didn't want to be one and dones and wanted to start professional basketball. The NIL and all of this ability to go to and from teams is now they've canceled the Ignite League.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
so, the dynamic's not done shifting.
It's not done.
I mean, it's, you know, constantly changing, but it's easy to jump on the big dogs that lose early, you know,
yep.
But it's almost
new team
diametrically opposed to like what the tournament means.
That's right. There will be
they're running a whole different program.
A new Kentucky with new players next year that will be high seeded. And if they gel, they'll do well. And if they don't, they'll get beat.
Yep. It's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
For sure. All right. Brink got our home highlight coming up on the other side of the break. It's beauty today.
It's crazy house. His crazy house. Honestly, It is a special house.
Whenever you have your own pond, I'll just throw that out as a teaser. And we have a $25 gift card to the gin mill we're giving away. Just go to our Facebook page. You can like, comment, feel free to share. But you want to click on the link and go check this out. The photos are unbelievable. The house is unbelievable. We'll do it on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
The Brass Horn invites you to come to the Peter Millar Spring Event this Friday from 10 to 6 and Saturday, 9:30 till 3. All of the new Peter Millar merchandise will be shown and the sales rep will be taking orders. Join them for food and beverages while they have the basketball games on their TV. Whether you need office or weekend wear, Peter Millar's style and quality can kick up anyone's wardrobe. So accept their invitation to the Peter Millar Event, the Brass Horn, 108 East Prairie Avenue in downtown Decatur or at brasshorn.com.
Hi, JR from Speed Lube here again, reminding all of our clients how much we appreciate you and the services we provide that others may not. Here at Speed Lube, you have the choice to stay in your vehicle or wait in our lobby while we perform the service for you. Our full service includes a multi-point inspection that entails checking differential and transfer case fluids, along with all the other vital fluids underneath the hood. We also vacuum the floorboards, wash the exterior windows, and correct your tire inflation. All of this while providing a premium Pennzoil product. Thank you, Decatur and surrounding areas, for your 43-plus years of patronage. We look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
Hi, Jan. My kids are really excited about spring break, so I'm looking for a new Toyota to help make it amazing.
Now until April 1st is a great time for a new Toyota. Imagine you and the kids in a Tundra on your way
to the lake to go speedboating.
Woo-hoo! Or even taking a RAV4.
To an animal sanctuary to pick goats.
Sounds like your kids aren't the only ones excited about spring break.
Ready, set, go get your Toyota today. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
You know, when you say, is that a seventh bedroom? And you go, nope, that's a food pantry.
You're not exaggerating.
We're going to take you to 1848 South Shore Drive, where you are literally minutes away from South Shores. You're in the Mount Zion School District. You have 5.5 acres of space and your own pond. That's before we even get inside the front door.
And we won't have time to cover all the square footage in this house.
No. Can't. It's unbelievable. We're talking 6 bedrooms, 4 baths. That's 3 full baths and a half bath, right? Is that a 4-car garage?
Yes, full 4-door. I mean, the doors are full and separate. It is not. It's a pure 4-car garage.
Look at the gigantic deck that overlooks the pond.
So you've got a second-story deck that's huge that makes a covered area for the walkout lower level, huge covered patio.
All right. I'm going to do my best here. You're going to have to go see this. I mean, to do it justice, you're going to have to go look at the entire photo gallery.
Would you say that 3,714 square footage is a pretty big house?
Mm-hmm.
What if I told you there's 4,200 or about 500 more than you have to double your house in unfinished space?
Yeah.
It's not even, it's 7,000 plus.
To do whatever you want to do.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
All right. So this is literally kind of a traditional two-story.
It is.
Completed in 2020. There's an open concept design, literally. We've got a great room with a gas fireplace, flows into the gourmet kitchen with granite countertops, the designer appliances, double oven, gas stove, microwave drawer. And then there's an L-shaped island, loads of custom cabinetry.
Benches at that island as well.
Oversized drawers. You know, the stuff you would always, like, whenever you're in your kitchen, you go, if I could have gone back and, Here's what I would have done.
Need more room for those pans.
Yes.
Taller pots than I thought.
Gigantic pantry. There's a master retreat spa-like bathroom. Got a pebble-floored shower. Separate freestanding tub. There's a huge, colossal walk-in closet. Then upstairs, five equally sized bedrooms with two bathrooms, a walkout basement, and as you said, 4,200 square feet with potential to finish that out any way you want to. You want your own gym? You could charge membership.
Yeah. It looks like there's even a vault. There's certainly
I saw the door.
Yeah, and there's even the basement, part of one of the basements, it looks like maybe it's an L shape, drives outside. So you want to put your four-wheelers, your whatever, you can pull them right in the house.
What's the little outbuilding?
They've got a little barn, a two-story barn, and even a little outhouse, it looks like, that was part of the old whatever was there. Yeah, a two-story walkout lower-level barn just to throw in.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable, the sheer volume of space this place has.
Well, if you just take a little look from the aerial view from the drone shot, yeah, you know, and you see the yard and the driveway and the pond and the lake behind that, this is about as peaceful a looking property I've ever seen, right?
Exactly right.
Like peaceful, but not gigantic maintenance.
Right. And you know, the little things, the very small things where you've got, we've got stuff tucked in this cabinet in this room and stuff in that cabinet. They've got a room that's like, well, here's all our napkins, toilet paper, or cleaning supply. It's, there's so much space that everything is where it should, needs to be. Your life becomes so unbelievably easy.
I love the stairs and the railing.
Love that.
There's a great shot from like the upper floor over like a kind of a modern chandelier that that's beautiful.
Clean, elegant, no tricks to it. It takes you upstairs. It takes you downstairs, main level. It's right center mass of the house. Overlooking the front door, the house was designed beautifully.
You could do anything you want decor wise inside this house. I mean,
it's so new.
But the attention to detail is amazing, but you could put any style into this and make it work. Anything. I think that's some of the sticking points sometimes is you go, oh, I'm not a fan of how they did this, or I don't see how I would. But this, you take everything out, you could make this thing ultra modern. You could make it not.
Right.
And everything in between.
Right. I assumed.
I love the railing.
I do too. I assumed, just from how the property was set up, that this was a house probably built in like the 90s that somebody that had a modern touch came in and cleaned it up.
Right.
It's a brand new house.
Yeah.
It is that. It's just set up to be a very livable house with a lot of space. You're a storage unit guy. I'm a storage unit guy. You would cancel your subscriptions day one.
I'd build storage units in that basement.
You could sell them out. I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah.
And then outside space.
You know when you've got like a basement that's big enough to make a ping pong table look tiny?
Yeah, it's floating. Just floating in there. They could hold a ping pong tournament by bringing in another dozen tables.
I've got literally a pool table too.
Yeah, you want a billiards hall in your basement? You have the room.
Listen, you got Michael Sexton's the listing agent on this. It's a hidden gem. I don't know. Generally, when you get into certain areas, I know exactly. Yeah. I mean, I know the vicinity of where this is, but I have no idea. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen this house with my own two eyes.
I don't think I have. And I don't think it has a very nice, it does have the huge Cracker Barrel porch. But aside from that, it has the standard, looks like a nice house. But when you would get inside it, I think you would just, it'd take you an hour plus to go through it.
I wonder what that door goes to.
Yeah.
Like a safe house?
Yeah. Did you notice that the bedrooms safe are room? So big that it has like, the master bedroom has like a double sliding door out to the deck.
Yeah.
A double wide like window and all the natural light. Those rooms are humongous.
Yep.
I've never seen space used like this on any of our home highlights.
No, and you've nothing got close to a it. Great yard between the deck and the pond. It could be anything you want it to be.
That's exactly right. Some family is going to find this house on a listing.
This looks like something the Kennedys grew up in.
Yes. Somebody would move to a community on this kind of house at this price. I mean, this is like, well, yeah, let's get it before it's gone and let's find somewhere to work, or I work remote. This is a sprawl.
Yeah, it is. And as you mentioned, 3,714 finished above grade.
Yep.
And then that huge, and then 5.5 acres.
Yeah.
And the technical year built, it was 2019. I'm sure that's when it started, when paperwork.
And on the outdoor part, you mentioned the pond and you have all the acreage, but you also have like some yard. You have some like standard,
Here's
some yard to play, to put a fire pit, whatever it is. You have yard and you have the other stuff too.
Yep.
It's great.
Central air. I mean, all the modern, I mean, you know, that's the thing about modern. I love old, but man, when you move into modern and new, everything works.
Exactly right. This is a good pick. I'm glad to get to look at this house. And I think that there's going to be someone that is going to walk through this house and probably throw in an offer right away.
I can't imagine not. It's got about every box checked you can possibly. There's boxes that are checked that I didn't even know were boxes.
Right. It might be so good on paper, honestly, that you might not, that the gallery might be enough for somebody out of state to go, yep. I mean, knew everything.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Absolutely it's beautiful. It's 1848 South Shore Drive. You can literally win a $25 gift card to the Gin Mill. All you have to do is go to our Facebook page, like, comment, and feel free to share. And Michael Sexton is the listing
agent.
Imagine
that.
Yeah. Well, you know, he knows so much about real estate. What a value he brings to the table. Mm-hmm. And these pictures are just unbelievable. You can take the virtual tour. You can download the brochure, look at the floor plan, do the video tour. All that is available because they have the best website there is, bar none.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's the Brinkotter Home Highlight. Here's Nick with your three-day forecast. We'll be back with more right after this.
Today is going to be sunny with a high of 66. Tonight, chance of rain, possibly mixing with snow after midnight, mostly cloudy and a low around 31. For Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 46, and Sunday, mostly cloudy and windy with a high near 54. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 33 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:55. This look at your weather, it's brought to you by Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Homes.
Sure, it's not the easiest topic to discuss with your loved ones, but at Brentlinger and Earl, we can help guide you through the talk of a lifetime and pre-plan for the unexpected. It's a hard topic, but so very important. I'm Brian Mose, director here at Brentlinger and Earl. Pre-planning your funeral arrangements can help relieve the burden on your family during an already difficult time. It ensures that your wishes are carried out exactly as you want them to be, and that your unique life and values are reflected. Just visit BrentlingerandEarl.com and find out more, or call me directly at 217-875-1283.
The Brass Horn invites you to come to the Peter Millar Spring Event this Friday from 10 to 6 and Saturday, 9:30 till 3. All of the new Peter Millar merchandise will be shown and the sales rep will be taking orders. Join them for food and beverages while they have the basketball games on their TV. Whether you need office or weekend wear, Peter Millar's style and quality can kick up anyone's wardrobe. So accept their invitation to the Peter Millar Event, the Brass Horn, 108 East Prairie Avenue in downtown Decatur, or at brasshorn.com.
It's the 2024 Newhoff Media Kids Fest, presented by Melanie and Al Schelling of State Farm Insurance. Saturday, March 23rd. Come enjoy a day of family fun with bounce houses from Airwalk Action, obstacle courses and slides, face painting, photo ops, characters, and more. We'll have tons of interactive fun booths, including touch a truck, heavy equipment, and photo booths. Don't forget about the ladies' shopping corner and more. Fun for the whole family under one roof at the Decatur Civic Center, Saturday, March 23rd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
Hi, Jan. My kids are really excited about spring break, so I'm looking for a new Toyota to help make it amazing.
Now until April 1st is a great time for a new Toyota. Imagine you and the kids in a Tundra on your way
to the lake to go speedboating.
Woohoo! Or even taking a RAV4.
To an animal sanctuary to pet goats.
Sounds like your kids aren't the only ones excited about spring break.
Ready, set, go get your Toyota today. Toyota. Let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
What a great song. So many of those are so good, mainly because it's sort of like childhood memories or maybe junior high.
Such a good song.
I mean, you go from the 60s Motown into the 70s R&B and soul categories. It was so good. Watch Soul Train every weekend.
Good show. It's fun.
Some people were American Bandstand. Not me. You can keep your Bay City Rollers. I'll take Gladys Knight and the Pips. Or the OJs.
Loved all of that.
Yeah. Great stuff. Coming up, news, and then Angela's in studio. Stay tuned.
Car, home, mobile device, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. The Illinois Department of Transportation has released the first official notice of funding opportunity for round one of the Illinois National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program. The program will provide up to $50 million for the construction of 46 charging stations across the state. Officials say the program aims to accelerate the adoption of EVs by providing access to charging on Illinois interstates and is part of a series of initiatives to achieve the state's goal of becoming a leader in manufacturing and deploying EVs. The Newhoff Media Kids Fest, presented by State Farm Insurance agents Melanie and Al Schelling, is tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.